You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
And let's go to the book of Romans. We'll start there. It's a Bible study night. We'll use our Bibles. I guess it's okay in church to use a Bible. And we'll use our Bibles tonight. We've been looking at words to live by. We looked at the word kindness. Oh, put the word kindness in your life. And forgiveness and correction and contentment. We've looked at the word love and faith in the second coming. We looked at the word trust, and last week we looked at the word wait. Tonight is a word that some of you have really learned to exercise it in your life. Many of you have gained strength in your life with this word. Many of us have not. You know, the older you get, you either embrace this word or you do just the opposite. The older you get in life, you either accept this theme, and it's just you, who you are. Or boy, I'll tell you, you're a hard one to live with. It's the word patience. Older people are so patient. That when we used to take our kids candy sailing, that the older people would stay and talk to them and talk to them. Or they'd come out and say, no, do you have a permit for this? And they'd be all gripey and grumpy, all upset about everything. You know, Tabitha, she began to say, grump coming, and I had to correct her on it. I still have to correct her, but Tabitha, a grump, but you can always tell. The way they walk like a grump. They act like a grump. Or the sweet, you know, I've told this story so many, remember that lady that came and she said, oh, honey, I can't buy any candy. I'm a diabetic. A little five-year-old girl didn't know what a diabetic was. And she walked out and she said, well, I guess I could buy some for my friends, couldn't I? Do you remember that lady? Or you don't remember? You do remember. And I want to say she bought 10 candy bars for her friends that day. That lady has learned patience in life. You're either a young person, an impatient person, or you're very patient. Every person needs to learn to be patient in life. And so tonight we're looking at this word patience. And patience is the ability to endure in the midst of hardness. What's the hardness you're going through tonight? Everybody does. And if not, Doug Fisher said years ago preaching here, he said, you're either coming out of a trial or you're heading into a trial, or a trial's coming, but a trial's coming. Trials are part of life. Difficulties are, losing your job's part of life. Losing your health is part of life. Losing a mate is part of life. Everyone that's married here, if the Lord tarries, you're gonna be at the graveside of your wife and or your husband. That's just part of life. And God wants us to learn to have patience, to endure in the midst of hard times, difficult times. It's tolerance in the face of delay. You know, the internet did a study in 2012. They literally studied over tens of millions of people. And most people, they discovered, were impatient waiting on their computer to watch something after 2 seconds. They were impatient with their computer. It's sort of like me at the bank. I had to go by the bank for my wife today and I counted. I had to wait 5 seconds. I thought it was 10, but I counted and it was 5 seconds. That's 5 seconds wasted my time, quite frankly. But we're all impatient if we're not careful. I don't want to be impatient. I don't want to be impatient with you. I think of most of the time I try, someone says, do you have a minute to talk? I sure do. I've learned that from older preachers, good preachers. Sure, I've got that time. Now, I'd like to go home tonight, so don't everybody ask it tonight. But we're in Romans chapter 5. I'm going to give you several ways to develop patience tonight. And want you to mark your Bibles, if you will, or take some notes of whatever you want to do. Romans 5 and verse number 3. And not only so. It's talking about justification. We have access by faith, verse 2. And not only so, but we glory in, what's the next word? Tribulations and trials. Knowing that tribulation worketh what?
Patience.
And so I want you to write down, suffering brings patience. If you want to write down this scripture, James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, endures trials. For when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of righteousness, a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them. You know, there's five crowns in the Bible we're going to win. And one of them is the suffering crown. And we're going to win it at the judgment seat of Christ in heaven. And we're present that at Revelation 4:10 at the feet of the Lord Jesus and say, thou art worthy to receive honor and glory and majesty. For I'm not worthy, but thou art. And the goal is to have a suffering crown. You know, I'm watching people. I watch people Monday night, I was preaching out of town, and Tuesday morning preaching out of town. And I watch people walk in church in canes. I watch people coming in. It was a large convention. I watch people in wheelchairs. There's this little boy, and he comes to see me every year, the last four, five, six years, whatever I've been there. And he comes up, and he's probably about maybe 10 or 11 now. He's in a wheelchair. And his dad said, he said some nice things to me. And then he said, Brother Treiber, my son wanted to come and see you again. You always talk to him. And he said, he wanted to tell you what God's done in his life this year. And that little boy looked at me and he said very quietly, God called me to preach. Man, I was so excited about that. Just the sweetest. He's gonna be in that wheelchair the rest of his life. He's troubled with his health. But God's called me to preach. He's learned to embrace that wheelchair. If God's got you on a cane, there's a purpose. If God's got you in a wheelchair, there's a purpose.
Right.
I came to the back of the auditorium, and there was a guy in the very back, and I was shaking hands with folks that while they were singing the song, and I got a whole row of ladies, a long row of ladies, and I said, is this where all the backsliders are sitting tonight? And they laughed at it. We had a good time with it. And there was a man back there in a wheelchair, you know, leaning way back, one of those electronic ones. And he just in that, and he's had the happiest spirit. God says, if you will embrace your suffering, you're going to learn patience in life.
Amen.
How are you suffering? Physically, mentally, spiritually? What are you suffering with tonight? Everybody suffers. Man that's born of woman, his days are few and full of troubles as sparks fly upward, Job says. Troubles are part of life. And you know, the faster you learn to embrace your troubles and your trials and your difficulties, the more joy you'll have and the more patient you'll become.
Right.
Suffering produces patience, or produces bitterness. Secondly, I want you to write down, if you will, turn with me, if you will, we'll go through the New Testament here and we'll go keep moving toward the back. First Thessalonians, the Thessalonians book is by all the T books in the New Testament. First and Second Thessalonians, First and Second Timothy, and then Titus. And we're in First Thessalonians tonight in chapter 1. I want you to read one verse with me. First Thessalonians, page 1267, if you have a Bible like mine tonight. And so we find that suffering produces patience. What produces patience?
Suffering.
The second thing that produces is serving. You serve God, you'll learn to get patient with people. You won't have to go very far before you meet a drug addict or an alcoholic or a God hater or whatever. By the way, that's serving God. Teenagers, I don't know how many, the teens went out today and passed tracts for Easter Sunday, and they'll be out Saturday, they'll be out next Monday, and they probably ate dinner together. But God bless you, teens, for being burdened for people. People need the Lord. And serve God. Serving God will create patience. Look what the Bible says. Let's read it together. 1 Thessalonians 1:3. Ready? Begin. Remembering without ceasing. We're to serve the Lord with patience. That's how we're supposed to serve Him. In the choir, at the usher station, in the parking lot, in the nursery, in the orchestra, in the sound system, in the live stream, on the radio. However you serve God, whatever you're doing as a deacon, as a Sunday school teacher, as a bus worker, as a mechanic in the church, as housekeeping and food services, all of it is to serve God. Well, there is joy, joy, joy in serving Jesus. Joy that throbs with, I'm hanging on to every day I can get. I'm loving the ministry more than I've ever loved it. I'm loving serving God. It pays to serve Jesus. It pays every day. It pays every step of the way. Oh, it pays to serve Him.
Amen.
I was with a staff member today, and we were covering all the different folks that through the years chose money over the ministry. My heart was broken as we talked about it. And how their kids all turned out as heathens. Hate church, hate God. And they were so sweet. Just such sweet little kids, but now they're grown. Mom and dad have the money now, but they don't have their kids. In every case, there were so many we were talking about today. Every case. You know, it pays to serve Jesus. I remember my mom and dad singing that song, "It Pays to Serve Jesus." It pays every day. It pays every step of the way. I could tell you, young people, say yes to God. That's the best thing. Now, you may be a policeman. You may grow. You don't have to be a pastor. You could be a policeman. You could be a computer programmer. You could be in NASA. You could do whatever you want with your life as long as God is in it. But serve God also. Serve God in the Sunday school classes. Serve Him on a bus ride. And serve Him in the guitar section or back here in the orchestra or down here in the orchestra. Or serve Him on the pianos or the organ. But serve God. In serving God, you develop patience. Ask Brother John and Kathy Morris. 41, 42, 43 years teaching kindergarten children. Just think of that, Brother John. Some of those kids, maybe more than 42, 44, I don't know how many years, but 40 some years. Some of those kids are nearing 50 years of age now. They were just little kids. And now they're grown up. Suffering produces patience. Suffering produces patience. Serving God produces patience. Look at the third one. Turn with me to 1 Timothy. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and then 1 Timothy. And chapter number 6. You seek patience. Let's read verse 6, chapter 6, verse 11, shall we? Ready? Begin. But thou, O man of God, you know, when a man follows after, he's seeking to do right. My first prayer every morning of my life. My first prayer is, God, fill me with your spirit. God, may I, Proverbs 8:13, may I fear the Lord. And God, may I have faith in you today. You know, I've added and along the line and all the different alphabet I pray for, but I want to be a patient man. I don't want to be irritable. I don't want to get old and grumpy and a grouch and complaining and all these little kids are out here. These little kids don't bug me. I love being. I missed elementary chapel so much, and all those kids are out. We just have teens and adults in here tonight. They're all out in their program, the kids program. I miss those kids today. I miss you teenagers today. Oh, I missed you so much. I'm glad Brother Panera got to preach to you. But I tell you what, I love seeking after patience. I want to have patience with everybody. I don't want to get irritated with people. I don't want to get upset with people. I don't want to get angry with people. I don't want to get angry with my wife or my precious kids or my grandkids or great grandbaby coming next month. Can you believe that? My wife's old enough, but I'm not old enough to be a great grandfather. I told the people this week, I said, my wife, she says I'm fat. I said, can you imagine if I told my wife she was fat, how that would go over? And I said, I don't know. I want to tell her because she weighs 400 pounds. And they all laughed at that. I said, she's huge. She's just huge. And I said, I'm just kidding, folks. She doesn't weigh 400, 350. But, but I want to be patient with my wife. She's the best thing that's ever happened to me. I want to be patient with my precious kids. They're so wonderful. They're all serving God. I want to be patient with my grandkids. I want to be patient with my neighborhood kids. And God's word says that seeking God produces patience. Serving God produces patience. Suffering produces patience. What three things have we seen so far? Number one, suffering produces patience. Say it together. Suffering
produces patience.
And then what's the second one? Serving God produces patience. And then number three, seeking God, seeking after Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then number four, I use the word, go to Titus, the next book over, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus. Titus chapter 2. I say stability or maturity creates patience. Look at chapter 2, verse 2. Let's read it together. Ready? Begin. That aged men be sober, grave, sober doesn't deal with alcohol. It means to be very serious. Serious about life. Everything doesn't have to be slapstick, comedy, funny. But serious about life. Sober, grave. That's even a stronger word than the seriousness. Temperate, that means self-control. Put yourself under self-control. And then you're to be sound in the faith and in charity and love and in patience. Aged men teach that maturity, stability. I thank God for, I was going through the list on a plane this week of all the men in my life that really influenced me. They're all older men. They'd be 100, 115, 130 years, 135 years of age now. But all these old men that 50 and 60 years ago had such an influence on my life. I think of Bob Crandall. I think of Arlen Snyder. I think of my pastor, Dr. Ken Smith. I think of so many older men of God. I think of these older men that preach in this pulpit. They're all with the Lord. They'd all be 100 or older. The youngest one would be 101. Dr. Hiles and Dr. Lee Robertson and Dr. Bobby Robertson and Dr. Tom Malone and all these great men of God. Those men impacted my life with this thought of patience. They pastored larger churches than I. They had larger ministries than I, but they're all so patient. I'd pick them up at the airport. I said, I've got some questions. And I've written them down. I've got them all typed on this piece of paper. And would you mind if we just went through these questions? And they just went through them. I didn't answer. I didn't defend. I just listened. Every year I'd pick those guys up at the airport. Curtis Hutchins, I'd pick them up. And I listened to them. Because their wisdom, their maturity was helping my life. And in helping my life, I was developing patience with my life. Because they all were stable men. Stable individuals. Maturity. Look at these elderly people in this room. Kids, look at them. They have wisdom that you need. And it's free. You don't have to pay for it. Look at all, and I don't mean this because maybe some ladies don't have gray hair. But look at all the gray-haired men. Look at all the bald-headed men. Look at all the older, look at the wrinkled faces. I'm not trying to be humorous here. I'm trying to say they have some wisdom that you need.
Amen.
And that stability is going to guide your life. You have a dad. I'd love to have, my dad's with the Lord for so many years now, but you have a dad He's not perfect, but if you have a dad that loves you and loves the Lord, get wisdom from your dad. If you have a mother that loves the Lord, get wisdom from your mother. Listen to her. If you have an older sister, get wisdom if she loves God. If you have an older brother, get wisdom if he loves God. And that's what the Bible says. This is stability comes through maturity, and consequently comes patience. There's four areas we've looked at tonight. I'll try to hasten. Suffering produces patience. Secondly, not only suffering, but serving produces patience. Thirdly, seeking God produces patience. Stability, older men and women produce patience. We're so blessed in this church to have so many older people that are balanced. They're not irritable. They're not obnoxious. Number five, Hebrews. Keep going to the back of the Bible, the next two books over. Hebrews 12. Staying in the race produces. We just stay in the race of life. Look at Hebrews 12, 1. Could we read it together? Ready? Begin. Wherefore, seeing we are also... In other words, don't ever quit. Amen. Don't quit, child of God. Amen. I try to talk everybody out of quitting. Don't ever quit. Amen. God gave you the ability to play the trumpet, then play the trumpet. Yeah. God gave you the ability to vacuum, then keep vacuuming. Amen. And when you get too old for that, then do something. You can sit down, but do something for God in his service. Serve him. And God's word is talking about staying in the race. Don't ever get out of the race of life. Stay in the race. Stay on that bus route. Stay in that Sunday school class. We have so many scores of people that have taught Sunday school 35, 40, 45 and more years in this church. God bless you. I had a preacher's funeral and his mother preceded him. I didn't have her funeral. But she was a preacher's wife too. She lived to be 102, maybe 104, but I think it was 102. And at 102, she had been teaching Sunday school for over 80 years. And she still was teaching Sunday school when she passed away. Man, I love that testimony. You just keep staying in the race of life. What race did God give you? Just stay in the race. It's a good race. We're out of time. Let me keep going. Go to the book of James. Hebrews, James, the next book. James chapter number 5. Stay in the race. Stability. Seeking God. Serving God. Suffering. Look at chapter 5, verse 10. Take my brethren. Let's read it together. Ready? 5:10. Take my brethren, the prophets. That's the servants of God. That's the servants of God. I'm very reluctant to mention Colonel Harder and Brother Van Dyke. Both these men are, I think, 86, 87, and forgive me if I should not say that. So I'll get your approval next time. These are two godly men. We got so many people back here all over the house in your 80s. They're a great example for us. And I want to say that servants of God, take the Bible, take Joshua, servant of God, take Job, servant of God, take Elijah and Elisha, servants of God. Take Hezekiah, a servant. Take Josiah in the Bible, a servant of God. Take Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Take Sarah and Martha and take Mary and take Esther and take these great heroes of the faith. God put them there as an example for you and me. And those examples are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's go one more. Let's go to the next book, 1 Peter chapter. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 1 and 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter 1 says, I'm to supplement my life. I'm to add is supplement. Supplementing is adding. 2 Peter 1, 6. Ready? Verse 5 and 6. 5 and 6. Ready? Begin. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. Verse number 7, and to godliness, brotherly kindness. You know, God wants you to supplement your patience. Add patience. You know, that is a learned activity. You're going to have to learn the joy of being still and waiting on God. Last week was waiting on God. Patience is very similar. You're just going to have to be patient with the situation. Fellas, don't raise your voice at your wife. I lived in such a great home. I never heard my dad one time, ever, one time, never. Lived to be 94. I never heard him raise his voice at his wife. Never. 91, my mom, never heard her raise her voice at my dad. I never heard them raise their voices at one another. They got older and they got Alzheimer's and these things. And one day my dad didn't recognize me, thought I was his doctor. But most of the time he recognized me. And he'd say, I had a piano playing by his bed and a piano was playing. And he goes, oh, my mom had been dead for 2 years. He goes, that's your mother. She's driving me crazy playing that piano all day long. And it's kind of funny when you think of it now, you know. But my dad always talked about the Lord. The last song, I can't find it on my phone. I've got to find it. It's my wife and my dad singing on his hospital bed. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. I've got that on my phone. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. Then they sang. My wife had to sing real slow. He couldn't get the words. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. That's such a last words I had. My dad, my last words he said to me, son, I love you. I had such a good dad. I had such a good mother. Had such a good father-in-law. My wife's mother was gone. She's been gone 56 years now. But I've been so blessed of man. I ought to have patience in my life. I don't need to get angry and irritable. Patience. Let God supplement it. We saw tonight, suffering brings patience. Serving God brings patience. Seeking God produces patience. Stability in serving God, stability produces patience. And then staying in the race and the servants of God as an example and supplement. William Carey was one of the greatest missionaries that was known to man, one of the first missionaries that went. William Carey went to the field and he worked for a year and nobody got saved. One whole year. People started getting irritated with him in London, saying, you're not doing anything with our missionary dollars. He went 2 years and nobody was saved. He went 3 years and nobody was saved. Now, back home in the Mission Society, was getting a little irritated with him because nobody was getting saved in Africa. And the fourth year, nobody got saved. And the fifth year, nobody got saved. In the seventh year, William Carey won his first convert to Christ, and he won that convert to Christ, and literally a flame began all over Africa because of his testimony. The same thing was true with Adoniram Judson, America's first missionary. Adoniram Judson went to Burma, and as he went to that field. He went a year, nobody saved, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. In the 7th year, he won his first convert to Christ. I believe it was Moffat was one of the great missionaries. I want to say, I'm not sure this is true. I said it a few weeks ago, so check the tape. It was 12 years before he led. And his wife, Mary, they were saying, get him to leave the field. He's not missionary. He's not a missionary. He's not getting anything done. We're wasting our money. And churches dropped him all over London. But Moffat stayed, and a great revival swept that land. I'm going to have patience. If I'm a pastor, I've got to have patience. If you're a dad, you've got to have patience. You have to have patience. If you're a wife, you have to have patience. If you're a husband, you have to have patience. If you're a mother, you have to have patience. Our Father, I thank you for the word patience tonight. And I pray that all of us would learn the joy of being patient in our lives. God, here are seven ingredients that we need in our lives to produce patience. Lord, I thank you for suffering, that you allow us to suffer. I thank you for serving thee, the privilege to serve thee, and to seek thee in stability, and saints of God and servants of God. Lord, I thank you for the fact that we can supplement our faith. Bless this invitation is my prayer.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.